I'm believing this is going to be the most responsive meeting we've been in our whole lives. Having business and professional people together, how many know if you can get them to respond, it is on the verge of a supernatural miracle. Just to have them in a context on Monday night, but a real honor to have so many that have come out tonight. We love it when we get together with business and professional people here at Life. If this is your first time here, in fact, if this is your first time, just give us a little wave. You haven't been to a Life business event. Come on, give us a big wave. I think we need to welcome everybody that's here for the first time. There would have to be 20 or 25 people, 30 maybe, that are here for the first time. But great to have you here. We love what God is doing through business and professional people. In fact, if you are new, you may not know our story. We began more than 25 years ago. We just had the big celebration. And before we even left Australia, Marie and I know I was in prayer going, God, how are you going to bring this whole thing together? And God really dropped into my heart that one of the key components was going to be through business and business people. And God would bring people at the right time to see miracles happen. And we seriously have been on a journey of just seeing God do so many great things. In fact, you may be aware or not aware, but we've got Christmas box coming up in the beginning of December. We're going to pack so many Christmas boxes. So, and why don't you come and join me? Because of a lot of people's generosity, last year we did 16,000. That's pretty cool. I mean, 16,000 is a lot of Christmas boxes, isn't it?
It's a lot.
And yeah. When you think every one of those represents a family or someone at least that is feeling devalued.
Yeah, each box feeds 4 to 6 people.
Wow.
So thousands of lives being impacted all across New Zealand, Rarotonga, Melbourne. It's really amazing.
You know what, because I've been at many of those packing days, as I'm sure many of you have been, and it's amazing that any of the food actually goes into the box, because it's pretty
so
tempting,
good.
Some of that food, isn't it? But tell us what's happening this year with Christmas Box.
So this year is another amazing year. It really is cool to see how God opens doors with business for Christmas Box. So again, we have over $1 million worth of sponsored product.
Wow.
And hot off the press today, we just have had Fisher and Paykel agree to give us some fridges and freezers that we're going to put in as like Willy Wonka tickets. So there are going to be some families that are really in need of appliances that are going to get an amazing gift. So boxes are usually worth $75 this year, and so a few of them will be worth hundreds of dollars with that added bonus. So
could we mark some of those boxes underneath or do something?
Do you need a freezer for all the fishing this summer?
Yeah, we need a freezer for some of that salt ice, I think. Something like that, that's what we need.
That's great. So we just have a couple of slides for Christmas Box, but one new initiative we have done this year, which some of you may have seen some buses driving around just in the last week. So we've got 15 buses driving around Auckland.
Wow.
With if you grab your mobile phone and you punch in your message 2447 and you type the word box, you will give $3 to Christmas Box. So you can head over to our Facebook page, grab this image, shoot it around your office, pop it on your Facebook page, wow, pop it on your LinkedIn, and it's a really, really easy way for us to get people donating to Christmas Box. So we've got 15 buses driving around Auckland with these on there. And just as business people, we would just remind you to do that through your businesses, just an easy way to get people on board with Christmas Box. And then the next slide, just reminding you that we would love to have you volunteering on the day. You can volunteer, sign up in the foyer after tonight, sponsor a box. So it's $30 to sponsor a box, and because of our generous sponsors, they're worth $75. So how many of us know as business people that that's great value for your money?
Yep.
And you're changing lives through just $30, and then the text to give. So we are on our way to packing December 3rd in our new central premises at Normanby Road. So you get a sneak peek as well before demolition starts the next day, I think.
Right.
And we're just going to have an amazing time, and we love having our business people bring your teams, bring people. It's a great way to introduce people to church and to just a fun and family atmosphere.
You know, it's great just seeing, I think, for a couple of years now, having rows of Nestle staff members and rows of, yeah, Coke staff members and whole lots of people that are a part of Life and even from other churches collectively making a difference in their community. And I'll never forget a couple of years ago, in fact, 3 years ago, I was working alongside a couple of people I had never met before, and obviously they didn't meet me because they asked me, had I done this before? And I just stayed incognito and tried to squeeze out as much info I could on what they thought about life. They didn't really know about life at all. So anyway, it was a great community event.
That's
so
awesome.
But that's great. I mean, you may be somebody that's got a passion. I think for us, definitely business and the professional community, we can make a huge difference in the community need that's around us,
can.
And that's where we're going. So
thanks,
why don't we
Pastor
give Anne a real hand and the community team. It's pretty cool. You know what, one of the things that we're wanting to do, and again, I'm always aware that there are people here for the first time or people that are new to the whole mission of life, is by 2020, which is upon us pretty quickly. The beginning of next year means we've got 4 years to the end of 2020 to actually fulfill our goal of seeing $20 million at least of community aid taking place. And we're pretty excited about that we can really make a difference. I'm believing that will be the beginning point. It's not just one mountain. We're going to reach that level and then we're going to grow from there. And how we're going to do that is, again, we're going to do it through finances we can raise through the businesses that are owned here at Life. And there are many business and professional people that are using their IP and skill sets and time for us to be effective in that, so that we can release finances, definitely to raise money through the people at Life, obviously sponsorships and people that are buying into the vision are helping us achieve that. And already today we're many, many millions every year going into community need. And I want to just continue to stir your passion. If you're feeling new to Life or you don't understand our vision strongly, that you can make a difference by collectively coming together and shoulder to shoulder making a difference. Every little bit makes a difference. And we are absolutely passionate about doing that. And so our night tonight is one of three or four we have every year, which is provides an opportunity for people to connect, provides an opportunity for us to be stimulated and stirred in our business and professional careers, and get some tools that we can take home. Also have a great supper. One or two people that are committed to that. But, you know, what I'd love to do in a moment is I've asked Caleb and Alice, who have been a part of Life for a long time. They're actually part of our financial leaders group. Three things we do. We run businesses. We have a group within our business community called BLIF, Business Life Investment Fund. And that is about owning and acquiring businesses so that we can make more money to reach our 2020 goal for the community. We have this event, which is Life Business. And then thirdly, we have our financial leaders, who are people that have recognized not only are they in business, but they've got a heart to give. They want to, they've recognized they've got the gift of giving, and so they want to activate that. And collectively, we can all see that 2020 vision realized. So I'm going to interview Caleb and Alice just in a moment. But I thought what we'd do is it'd be good just to have one win from every table. What's one thing that you've really succeeded in, or it's a big lesson that you've learned that has been instrumental in you building whatever you do? So what I'm going to do is I want to identify who is closest to the stage at each table. Don't move. I see the shuffling going on. No shuffling. Closest to the table. Hold it. Listen to this. Now you're going to count three people from you in an anti-clockwise motion. So in this table, if you shouldn't be in business, you can't work things out. Jill here at this table is closest to me. So it would be 1, 2, 3, Mark Saul. So that person, hold it, stay focused. Mark Saul has to give us a gem. Listen to this, you've got to give us something that you've really learned. Now, if you are the third person, and really at this stage in your life, you have no gems to offer, you can pass the baton on to the fourth person, who, if they have no gem to offer, they have one more option to pass it on to the fifth member. at that point, there are no other alternatives. So if I was the fifth or the fourth member, I would be strongly encouraging that beneath the surface, there is something we could all learn from. Okay, so you've got 5 minutes, come on, to identify who that person is. Please don't take 5 minutes to work out who they are. And then they've got to share a gem with the table of something they've learned. If you're sitting up the back, come on, you can just get two or three of you. One of you put your hand up, share a gem, something that's really helped you in business or in your professional life. One minute to go. Share your wisdom. Alrighty. Scott Thornton on your table. Scott Thornton on your table. Who was the elected person? Oh, you were. What wisdom did you bring to that table? Wow, that's a great thought. The Holy Spirit is your greatest business partner. How true that is, you know. Having the Holy Spirit walking with us, we can really lean into Him, and we should lean into Him more and more to give us answers and insights rather than running out of ideas. Very good. Well, it's great to have Caleb and Alice with me tonight, and they're actually part of our financial leaders team that are committed to the vision of life. I'm going to ask you guys just a little bit. A lot of people wouldn't know who you are. How long have you been a part of life?
I've been a part of life most of my life, so I think it's been about 24 years now.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was been a while, but my mum's here, which is great. And she, I started coming when I was about 5 or 6.
So you had no choice at the start, obviously.
I had no choice. And my memory's not that great, so I only remember the last 15 or so.
What, the teaching wasn't any good in the first 10 or what? So that's quite a long time. You've seen a lot of changes then, obviously.
Heaps of changes.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been amazing from the beginnings. And all of the kids and the youth stuff growing up was just, that was my life, I guess. It was, all my friends were in the church and part of the church, and it was just great growing up and being a part of that and still seeing so many of my friends that I grew up with through church still my friends today.
And it's from as early as I can remember for you, you always had a passion for business.
Yes, No, I've always loved business, and I guess it's kind of come from my parents and from my dad, and just seeing how they've done their life, and it's always been, I guess, an interest in something I've wanted to pursue. And
And you're enjoying it?
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. I love
stretched.
Yeah. So I do property. I'm on the property side of things. And I see property as my business, and absolutely love what I do.
That's cool, eh? That's cool. And Alice, a little bit about the family.
Our family.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got two kids. We've got Alec, who is 2.5, and we've got little Mika, who's 6 months. They're too similar to me, and it's a bit mental every day, but I love it.
Yeah.
Full of life, and they're awesome.
That's cool. And you've been a part of life how long?
I came to life when I got a blind date with Caleb, and I got a boyfriend and a new church, so it was a great time. So it was about 9 years ago, and came on staff, I think 3 years after that, and been on staff now for 6 years.
Yeah.
First as a Fuse youth pastor, looking after our preteens, and now I've kind of moved up a step to our teenagers, and here every Friday night, and I'm parting into them and loving them. So, yeah, I've got a massive heart for the church in terms of that and our young people and seeing the next generation of our leaders rise up in this church. There's so much potential in our young people, and it's a real blessing and an honour to work with them.
The thing I've loved about the two of you is just, you know, your heart being 100% committed towards what God's called us to do. I mean, you've been around long enough to know the vision, know it clearly. What made you decide that you wanted to be a financial leader, Caleb?
I think giving was just always part of my life growing up, and it has always kind of felt natural. And I think that was kind of how I felt my fit. Like I was involved in youth and did different things, and then I just love doing business and kind of the opportunities that gave. And then I guess the financial leaders made sense because it's just doing what I do, but I'm kind of part of the team and just contributing towards the vision and to God's kingdom.
Yeah. You know, it's an amazing thing sometimes in church life when it comes to a business context or a professional people's context. Often it's just all about money. It's just like, hey, look, we need them to come together because we need money to pay the bills, and we need money to help the vision become a reality. Well, I think what we've recognized is that not everybody, just because you're in business, doesn't necessarily mean you've got a gift of giving. I do believe that every one of God's kids need to be generous. Come on, an amen would be good. And that's not just money. That's actually, we should be notable in society as being generous people, large-hearted, big thinkers, people that are able to move. But there is no doubt that many of us, Marie and I, would definitely say that we have the gift of giving on our lives. We love to give. We want to find ways where we can give. And you know, we have this whole thing called financial leaders that get together as well, sometimes in this context, sometimes just in another context, where we encourage each other about our giving and the difference it can make. You know, a financial leader are people that say, hey, we're committed to giving at least $10,000 a year towards building the vision over and above our general giving, over our tithes and our every week offerings. It's something we commit to do. Some people are giving a lot more than that on a regular basis, some huge amounts, because they really believe that God's called them not just to come to life, but a part of their legacy is going to be what God does through the ministry here at Life. And I love that. And then we have two, not just $10,000 kind of get into that. And it's just setting a benchmark that there is a commitment to it. But there are numbers of people under 30 who are going, I've got that on my life, but I'm not in a position financially to do that. And so we open the door to them at $3,000 a year extra giving. So there is a real, I've got to step into this, I've got to have faith for it, I've got to believe God for it. And then they're amongst, again, other people that can mentor them to become more significant in that. Alice, from your point of view, what drives you to be a part of that financial leaders kind of group?
I think for me, this whole journey of being a financial leader was an unusual one, in the sense that when we first got our invitation to be a financial leader, it was off the back of winning quite a significant amount of money on a TV show. And I thought that church had access to our bank account and just knew that we had money. And I
that might have been Paul Snell. Who knows what goes on behind the scenes? Yeah.
I kind of freaked out about it, you know, now that there's pressure for us, or this whole process of people suddenly calling us wealthy, for me was something that really unsettled me. And then Caleb, you know, being the wisdom, said, no, Alice, it's got nothing to do with what we could give. It's actually what we had given the last financial year, to know that when I was on a ministry salary and we had other commitments, that we had actually given that extent of money. I didn't even consider it to be something that was, in a way, financially leading. In church, you just have no idea how much you're giving and what that means. So for me, I think it taught me how faithful God has been to us, but also that there is always a massive step and a stretch, but God gives extravagantly. And when you make a commitment to be a leader, you do get to see and be part of things that are so much bigger than yourself. And I think for us, that has been that drive, that we're not people who are out to make money for our own significance, but we see how significant the kingdom of God is and how significant the house is, that it is the bride of Christ, and how significant and beautiful that is. And I think that will always be the thing that drives us, is we know that we have so much to give because of how much he has given us, and to know that you're living out of God's generosity is just a beautiful place to live.
Pretty cool, huh? It's amazing to me how many people I have time with and have met over many years that have done very well and been very successful, but still live kind of empty. And, you know, I really do believe there has to be a link to eternal value for you to find value. And that's the challenge. And so, you know, here at Life, people can misread things, but we're very committed to get people in their gift slot. And so, therefore, to challenge people, if, you know, it's in their heart, even in seed form, to step in, because that's where your place of completion is. That's where your place of finding home and purpose in life. I had somebody actually recently who's a part of our financial leaders group come up to me and say, you know what, God has blessed us and we've done very well in business, and they are key supporters of the vision here at Life. And they said to me, they've come to a point where they realize they are to set up their children and their children's children, but they know that their life on earth and part of their legacy is to see Life actually achieve what God's given it to achieve. And so their whole paradigm of thinking is, it's not about money, this is part of my legacy, is I'm called to be a part of that. And when God has birthed something, you know, it's like you guys, it's not about where you're at in life, it's to do with what's in your heart, and we want that to be the case. You know, I love this thought that comes from John Wesley. He said, and it's a challenging thought because it seems to contradict itself, but he said, you need to earn all you can, save all you can, give all you can. And sometimes we find ourselves on one side of that equation. It's just earn all you can, or it's give all you can. But actually, he said, no, you've got to learn that with God, there is so much more potential in you and through you. And so make sure you don't give everything away. You need to actually build your ability to go further than you've been before. But earn all you can, save all you can, give all you can, and allow the Holy Spirit to lead. And, you know, tonight, it's great to have you guys here because I want to take a moment actually just to say, hey, there may be lots of people in this room that don't even know we have a financial leaders group. And if that's something that's in your heart, like I really am passionate about giving, there is a card on your table, just this little card that says FL, Financial Leaders. You might want to just grab that, pass that around. I think there's a few of them there, are there, on the tables. And if you're not a part of the Financial Leaders and you go, you know what, yeah, I'm in. I'd love to be a part of a group like that. Give us your details. Or if you'd just like to have more information, just put your details, but write across it more information. And what we'll do is we'll follow you up. And again, it doesn't sign you up to anything. But, you know, the Financial Leaders make an annual commitment to be a part of that group. And last year we went away for a day and we just really talk shop where we're at, what God's doing, where we're going. How many would agree our 2020 vision is huge? But if it's God, it's more than able. And, you know, and I think sometimes you just got to, I got to get a revelation of what Marie and I financially can contribute. I got to get a revelation of what God's calling us to do, supported by our board and elders group and then the whole exec team, and we're moving forward on that. But I am actually believing that we are going to see our three Auckland campuses fully paid for, erected and fully paid for by 2020, by the end of 2020. And you say, why would you believe for that in such a short period of time? Because we've got a huge community mandate. 20 million is going to be the beginning point. And when the church begins to do that, how many know the world's going to go, what the heck's going on here? And we're just going to say it's the love of God in practical hands. And really, we are the ones that determine so much of that. So I just want to encourage both of you. You know what I mean? Lead the way. Never back off encouraging others that you sense have got the gifts that you've got to take the step of faith, because together we can make a difference. Come on, let's give these guys a real hand, shall we?
Love you, man.
Very good. Well, it is, hey guys, doing a great job there. It's our real honor to have Joel home. Yeah, let's give these guys a hand behind the scenes. Always incredible people. Doing a great job. But to have Joel home with us, Joel has been journeying with life for a long time. In fact, he comes and consults on a regular basis. So I love the view of external eyes. You know, I think even in your businesses and that, you got to be careful that you're not so insecure that you don't get external input. Let me say that again. Don't be so insecure that, you know, you kind of, you need people that can be completely objective, unemotional, that can just say, well, what's your vision and where are you going with that vision and what are you going to do about it? And Joel has been a great help for us, understands who we are, is very passionate about where God's taking us. And tonight I've just said, share what's ever on your heart, but let's continue to unlock the potential we have as business and professional people. So I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. Come on, and let's welcome Joel as he comes to share a few thoughts tonight.
Thanks, Matt. You may be seated. I think Paul just introduced me as completely unemotional. I'm like a dead fish. Thanks, Paul. I have been a part of the Life team for quite a few years, even though I'm based out of Southern California. And I got to tell you, one thing that has always been an attractive challenge for me is how Paul and the team here and how Life, as a community of faith, values and champions the idea of business in the kingdom of God. And how significantly important that is, and unfortunately still how rare that is in the kingdom of God. And for me, it's been a great challenge as well. Many of you may not know that for the last probably 7 years now, part of what I do in my calling with God is to help business owners who are rethinking what does it mean to own a business and run this business as a kingdom business. I've got a daughter and son-in-law who are building their business, and another son who's building his business, so it's family as well. And I'm just really so privileged to speak to you as some of the champions in the kingdom of God. And I pray that during these next few minutes, you'll not only be inspired in what God is calling you to do and how much he's a part of that, but you'll also be challenged. Paul wrote this verse in Romans 12 where he says, you know, do not conform to the pattern of this world. And what he's talking about is the mindsets, the way in which we look at things, our values, our philosophies of life. But rise above it. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So I've got to be honest with you, my thoughts tonight may be a little bit unpolished. They actually came out of a conversation Paul and I had over one evening in California this past August that I think we need to look again in kind of a new and fresh way as to how God has designed his kingdom to work and the role that you play in it and how important it is and how maybe we've missed kind of part of that story. When Paul was at our house, Paul and Marie were visiting us in L.A., and we were talking about that parable that Jesus gave. Jesus, the smartest man on the earth, talked about money. And he gave this parable about a master who gives his three servants money and says, go make money. And we were talking about that. And so I started thinking about that. And I actually looked at that passage in Matthew. And it's interesting because Jesus is talking about the end times. And he gives these four teachings. Life has a four focus. And it's fascinating, the focus that he gives. He talks about, remember the virgins with the oil in their lamps? Oil being a Holy Spirit, the church that it represents. This is a priority between now and the next season of life with God. The church is a priority. He talks about the sheep and the goats, caring for the poor, feeding the hungry. Life has a focus of community, and this is why we do this, the $20 million. Jesus has a third parable when he actually talks about servants teaching other servants, which is kingdom. Paul, Pastor Paul, and others going around and helping other churches. So in these four parables, Jesus actually lays out the fourfold focus of life in Matthew 25 and 26. And I'd never quite seen that before, how biblical, how imperative. But what makes me so delighted is that when Jesus was teaching his followers about between now and when I return, here's what really matters. He added a parable about you and your role and how significant it is in the kingdom. And sometimes I think we miss that because we look at God kind of and we understand him in the church context as a giver. What I want to share with you is the idea of God as a creator and the implications for you in business and how he will work through you with that. Because we oftentimes, and I'm going to use a little bit of a different language than church language if that's okay with you. We oftentimes talk about wealth distribution. How do you distribute wealth? And we champion wealth distribution. Look at the money that was given. We don't oftentimes talk about wealth creation. In our nation, we're going through a really ridiculous political season. Just can't quite wrap my brain around this political season. If any of you have any advice for me, please, I'm open to any ideas whatsoever. So there's all this discussion in the political environment around wealth distribution, but not a lot around wealth creation. You can't do a lot of wealth distribution if you don't have a lot of wealth creation. It's an essential part of God's kingdom plan. And to understand God as a creator, we kind of have to first kind of back up all the way to Genesis, where when God created humankind, he had this plan in his mind. And he creates this beautiful place called Earth and this Garden of Eden. And then he looks at it and he says, wait a minute, there's nobody here to work the ground. Sin has not become a part of this yet. There's a missing piece to his plan so that all of his creation can flourish. Why does the ground need work? And sometimes I think we misunderstand the creation story. When you read it again, you discover that Eden was really all these raw materials that God had created. But somebody has to take the raw materials and transpose them so that society can flourish. And so he says, you know what? I'm going to make mankind. But I'm going to make him in my image that they may rule over the earth. And God's purpose behind creating us was that we could take the raw materials of this earth and find a way to create and sustain and rule over this earth. So he made us in his image that we could do that. It says that God blessed them and said to them, fill the earth and subdue it. Now you've heard that in church. Let me give you the literal translation in business. It literally means fill the earth and gain profit from it. Fill the earth so that all of society can flourish with it. And he gives Adam and Eve authority to create. This was his plan back in the Garden of Eden, to reflect his image as a creator. Then we know sin comes into it, and idolatry destroys his plan and his purpose. And all of a sudden, the story of work changes. And Genesis says, through painful toil and by the sweat of your brow. And this begins to describe work for many people. Painful toil by the sweat of your brow. Not his original plan. Create authority. Flourish. Now it's just painful toil. But God does this plan. And Jesus comes in and he redeems God's plan. He didn't just redeem you. He redeemed God's plan. And he put back into motion this creation mandate for us, where we would again be co-creators with God. God is a giver, so we are called to be givers. But God is a creator, and we are called to be creators. And in your arena of the world, the idea of I'm a creator with God and with the authority that he has given me as a reflection of his image. This is what he has called me to do. If we're honest, most of our language in the kingdom of God is around just God as a giver. So we talk a lot about us as givers, wealth distribution. Nothing wrong with that. But I wonder if we need to kind of hit the pause button, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and see God as a creator. That he is in the creation business and he's invited us to be a part of that business. Not just wealth distribution, but wealth creation, where both are needed and both work together. It takes an enormous amount of faith to be in the wealth creation business with God. We think about faith as a giver, and we talk a lot about faith as a giver. When you give, you trust God. I think we need to say, you know what? When you create wealth, you have to trust God. It takes an enormous amount of faith. Here's why. Paul and I were talking about this morning. It's an enormously dangerous proposition when you enter into a creation partnership with God to create wealth. You need courageous Christian leaders who will do that, because there is great risk to your soul when you start to deal with money. It has the potential to corrupt. And it takes courageous Christian leaders who say, I will stay pure in God, but I'm going to let him use me to create the way he has called us to create. I think it takes courageous Christian leaders and great faith because of the enemy's plot. When you start to zone into wealth creation and the calling of God, I'm not talking about get rich quick schemes that you give to a televangelist, just so we're clear. But the wealth creation for his kingdom to flourish through wealth distribution, $20 million being given into community, demands a wealth creation for wealth distribution. You know what happens to those people who say, I'll take on that mantle? They get a lot of criticism from other Christians. All you do is talk about money. All you do is talk about your business and how it flourishes. And that's the enemy's plot. That's why even standing up here and saying, hey, we've got to talk about wealth creation, not just wealth distribution, I honestly get a little nervous about it. Because it's not a common language we talk about. But Jesus did. He said, guys, there's four things you really got to focus on between now and when I come back. Community, sheep and goats. Kingdom, servants helping other servants. Virgins with oil in their lamps, church. And here's some money. Wow. Go multiply it so that the kingdom can flourish. Yeah. And wealth creation, I think it takes courageous Christians because it's not easy work. Yeah. Scott's little gem is actually really profoundly true. You don't just go out and make money. the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the discernment, the wisdom, the amount of effort and work it takes, honestly, it's a lot easier to give than it is to create. And for a few minutes, I want to hopefully inspire you that you are in a zone of what God is looking for with courageous Christian leaders as saying, I will be part of the wealth creation as well as the wealth distribution. And maybe challenge some of our thinkings as to what does this actually mean? What does Jesus teach? But I want to begin by telling you a story of a friend of mine that I think greatly illustrates this. He's in Chicago. He decides he wants to start a business. He imports tea from India and Sri Lanka. He has a manufacturing plant, and he takes that imported tea and he packages it into small tea bags, and then he sells it out to all kinds of different outlet chains. He gets a contract with McDonald's in America. So when you go to a McDonald's in America and you buy hot tea, you're drinking my friend's tea, unless you go to Louisiana, because they drink really funky tea in Louisiana. So his business is flourishing. All of a sudden, he becomes challenged. I'm a leader in the kingdom of God. And I can take the profits and I can do wealth distribution. But what about the wealth creation part of the formula? What is God asking me to create? He decides to move his manufacturing plant into the worst neighborhood on the south side of Chicago. If you've read the news over the last year or two, you realize how violent that city is. You realize that every year 750 people get shot and killed in that city. And most of them are on the south side of Chicago in the neighborhood where my friend moves his manufacturing plant. And most of the consultants that he hires say this is a really bad decision. It'll really affect your bottom line. But he is into wealth creation, not just wealth distribution. And one of his agendas is to provide employment opportunities for young black men, one out of three who will end up in prison without some alternative. Wow. So when he hires them, here's what he says. I'm hiring you. You're going to work in my plant. I only want to hire you for 5 years, six at the most. Tell me your dream. And if you do well and work well for me, if you do your job well, I will provide you whatever education you need that will allow you to take the next step in your dream. That's wealth creation, so that society can flourish. His business is off the charts. He's doing wealth distribution. But it's not just about taking a percentage of his profits. It's about seeing himself as a leader in the kingdom of God who is a co-creator when God says, I'm going to make mankind in my image and put them here so that they will rule, gain profits, so that society will flourish. This is what God is calling you to do when you represent the business focus of life. So take a look at this parable. We're going to look it through because there are some characteristics that I think are important. Biblical principles around God's idea of wealth creation and what that looks like for us that we can take some encouragement from, some instruction from, maybe some correction from out of Matthew 25. I think they're going to have the verses on the screens if you want to follow along. This is not going to be very polished. It may even be slightly heretical, but Paul will come up after I'm done, correct it all. Open your mind to the possibility of a new idea, biblically, as to what's there. When God wanted the church to go into the Gentiles, the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem just freaked out. They had to go through a paradigm shift, transformed by the renewing of your mind. All right, so here it starts, verse 14. Jesus says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. What you're doing is a calling. It's not just a job. It's as much of a calling as Pastor Paul or Pastor Scott. It is a calling. The master entrusts to the servants. They are rewarded by what they create. The entire story is around what they create. It's not around their wealth distribution. It's around their wealth creation. You are in a position where you can reflect God as a creator. And that idea of God as a creator is very absent in our society. You see what's happening with the morality of society? That happens when people do not know that there is a creator. I'm my own creator. I can do whatever I want with my body. I can make whatever choices I want. But when there is a message that says there's actually a creator and there's a visible intent around what he's creating, people begin to discover God isn't just a savior, he's a creator. You are that image. I'm going to make them in my image. Why? So they can create. Wealth creation, I think, should be celebrated, honored, and embraced spiritually. What you do is deeply spiritual. Not just with the wealth distribution, but with the creation. And that's different from the world. In the world, wealth creation is either heroic or despised. Either you're despised because you're one of the affluent people who are taking advantage, and or you're heroic. You're championed as a hero. In the kingdom, no. You're a reflection of the image of God. And this is really important for us, because when it's a calling, I don't have to compartmentalize my business and my faith. They actually weave themselves together. That when I'm at Life and I'm here on a Sunday morning, whether I'm at South or North or Central, I am a business kingdom leader. I don't have to compartmentalize that. I don't do religion on Sunday and work Monday through Saturday. This is a calling that God has given you. The master comes to the servants and he entrusts them. I am giving you a responsibility to create. Treat it incredibly seriously and incredibly spiritually. Look at verse 15. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold. To another, 2 bags. And to another, 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. Second characteristic, I think, of being a wealth creator is enormous amount of freedom. What's interesting when Jesus teaches the parable is the master never tells the servants what to do. He just says, here's some gold, here's some money, have at it. And he leaves. And there's no specific 5-step instruction as to what they are supposed to do with it. He doesn't tell them. He doesn't give them direction. He doesn't restrict them. You are given enormous latitude to reflect this diverse kingdom. And I think one of the reasons why God does that and why Jesus teaches the parable this way is society has many dimensions in which it needs to flourish. It needs to flourish in the financial markets, but it needs to flourish in education, and it needs to flourish in research and development of medicine. All these areas need to flourish. So God says, here, have at it. But there's an enormous amount of latitude that's there. Wealth creation is not limited to one industry, but it's also not a secret code. It's not like the Holy Spirit gives you lottery numbers, now you create wealth. It takes work out of your passion. What do you care about? You saw the interview with Caleb? There's no doubt. He's just beaming around real estate development. He loves that. It's how he's wired by God. However God's wired you, that's part of that divine calling, with the freedom you have then to be able to carry that at part of creating this well. It's different from the world. You know why? Because you have an ace in the hole. Do you use that phrase here? For those of you who gamble? Your ace in the hole is the Holy Spirit. You're not in this alone. But the Holy Spirit gives you guidance and leadings. Why? Because you are doing something as a co-creator with God. The scenario is not accurate that I go and I work really hard and I make a bunch of money and then I join God in giving the money away. The scenario is accurate is God is fully invested in me as a wealth creator and as a wealth distributor. Both sides are there. One of the businesses that I have had the privilege to consult with is a real estate development company, and they do about $500 million a year in sales. It's a big business, about 350 employees. One of the things that they have to do is find property that is just perfectly timed, where then they can build a 200, 300 unit building and then sell those buildings. And timing is everything. And it's amazing in talking to these brothers who run this business how much they rely on the whisper of the Holy Spirit when it comes to even identifying certain lots that are available. If God is real and he is true, he's as present here as we worship as he is when they're scouring the city they live in, going, God, which lot is available? Which lot doesn't even have any kind of a sign on it? Because by the time it gets a sign on it, it's no good. If you're in real estate development, once it's got a sign on it, you're not going to make enough money. You got to get it before it's actually even for sale. And they rely on the Holy Spirit. This is what the freedom is. however God's wired you, whatever is passionate, don't isolate that from your divine calling. All right, what makes this so important is because spiritual growth takes place through your work because of the Holy Spirit's involvement. These brothers who are doing this business, when the Holy Spirit guides them and they find, and they're not stupid, they're actually pretty, really smart business guys. So they're not like got like some divining stick going around which lot. You understand this, right? These are smart guys. But do you have any idea what happens to their faith when they get a sense God is leading me and saying this, and then they're actually right and God was leading them, and faith grows? When you have this freedom, this is how God's wired me. This is what he's called me to do. I'm in this wealth creation as a divine calling, and there's a lot of latitude, and the Holy Spirit guides me. The greatest benefit is spiritual growth takes place Monday through Saturday, not just Sunday. You grow as a Christ follower. All right, look at the next one, verse 16. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once, put his money to work, and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Here's the characteristic I see out of this part of the story. And that is what I would call a spirit of generosity. You got a servant who's got 5 and immediately is willing to invest it. You got someone who's got 2 and he's immediately willing to invest it. The one with 1 doesn't steal it, doesn't abuse it. He just holds on to it. He just kind of carries it really tight. When you're involved in a wealth creation ministry with God, you stand apart because you carry this same kind of spirit of generosity, spirit of release. If I can put it in kind of business terms, you'll never make a lot of money if you're not willing to release money. You gotta make an investment at times, sometimes even measured risk, in order to return on that investment. And when you hang on to it, that's when it's really hard to make money. But when you have generosity, literally the Latin word magnanimous, this willingness to release, it doesn't just happen on the wealth distribution. Generosity on wealth distribution, no, generosity on wealth creation. I have a willingness, a spirit to be able to release. Wealth creation demands as much faith as wealth distribution, and maybe more because of the responsibility. God's given me this money. I got to be able to release it to create more wealth. And there's a risk involved in that. I've got to have a faith and trust in God. When I do wealth distribution, I release it, but then I don't have to worry about it. Here, I'm responsible for it. If you've been a part of life, and I know not all of you are, but if you've been a part of life, you know that over the last 4 or 5 years, there have been multiple real estate transactions that life has been involved in, that God has used to position life in such a really strong position in terms of campuses and ministries. You know how that took place? There was a willingness on the part of the leadership here, a spirit of generosity that says, you know what? We're going to buy this piece of property down south. If you hold on to it, you're never going to buy that. You're never going to sell it. You're never going to make the profits to be able to buy something else. Here, you've got 3 servants. None of them do something wrong per se, but 2 of them have this spirit of generosity that enables them to have faith where God then blesses them and there's a prosperity. It's different from the world. In the world, faith doesn't play a role in that. And this becomes really important because for you to be successful in the wealth creation dynamic with God, you don't have to have a certain kind of personality. You don't have to have a certain kind of trait. You have to have this conviction of faith. You got to be smart, but you have to have a conviction of faith of how the Holy Spirit will lead you. Look at verse 19. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. It's interesting when Jesus tells this story. He says, the guy's gone a long time. After a long time, the master then comes back. I actually believe those who are called into wealth creation, it's a lifelong calling. There's years and years of investment. There's very few people I know who have made a lot of money really fast. A few, but very few. Many of you have prospered well in the wealth creation and you have invested that into the kingdom, but you've been at it for decades. It's a lifelong kind of call. The master is gone for a long time. And if you're going to be involved in this wealth creation, you need endurance. Because we're not talking about, and understand my heart behind this, we're not talking about just earning money. We're actually talking about where God calls people to say, I want you to be a co-creator with me for the purpose of my kingdom. Wealth distribution, significantly important. But without wealth creation, there's little wealth distribution. And this is needs an enormous amount of endurance because we're not just talking about wealth earning, a job. We're not talking about wealth acquisition where you inherit a bunch of money because your parents were rich. We're actually talking about a divine calling where God has wired you with the ability and a capacity by his Holy Spirit to generate revenue for the kingdom. Wealth creation is this lifetime pursuit. For most of us, it takes a lifetime. We begin to really reap the benefits of it in our 50s. Some people occasionally, late 30s, early 40s, it takes place. But it's different from the world in the sense that when it's a lifeline call, it's bigger than just yourself. There's something greater going on. There's a great line I love to quote. For most of us who are in the calling of God, whatever expression it may be, our vision is too small and our timeline is too short. And when your vision is too small for a business and your timeline is too short, it's really hard to build that in a way that really prospers well long term. But when you know this is an amazing vision that I'm a part of, I'm just one part of it. And this timeline is a long timeline. God, give me the endurance to run the full race. So if I'm here, and even I'm only in my 30s, I've got the ability to have an endurance and a patience incrementally to see God bless and build. This is what it looks like to be involved with wealth creation. You say, well, what does that mean for me? One of the things that I discovered is that it has huge implications for your family. Now, this is where I may be heretical, all right? But I want you to follow this train of thought. When you look at ministry many times, you look at the family lineage behind it. And a lot of times when I was consulting, still am with business owners, one of the questions that always came up with, do I get my kids involved in the business? Do I give them a big inheritance? What role do they play? As a parent, I am not at all advocating some kind of a legalistic, you will do this. But I've seen the pendulum swing so far the other way that unless it's ministry, if it's just business, there's almost like no sense of family identity. And I think there is a place when you are part of God's creation plan and you are in this lifelong endeavor to say, God is doing something with his kingdom and I have a role, I have this divine calling, I have this freedom. There's a place to say, how does my family become a part of that? How do I make a way for my children to continue this on? Paul and I were having a discussion this afternoon because I was talking about people I know, friends of mine, who are getting to the age now where they're asking the question around inheritance. Do I give all the inheritance? What percentage do I give? And one of the things we were discussing about that Paul had said was, you know, what we really need is to teach Christians who are in this wealth creation, not just wealth distribution, but setting your family up so that your kids will continue the legacy. What do they need so that they can actually be a part of what God's doing to an even greater degree than you are? And I would just like you to think about the possibility, if you're here and you have kids, that maybe there's a place to say, our family has an identity in Christ. Our family has a calling. As much as that may be true with Paul and Luke, it may be true with you and your children. And the lifelong call that is on your family, that God DNA as a family unit that's there, because it's a lifelong call you're in. All right, so let's go on. Here's what takes place. Verse 20. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. And then the other guy does the same thing. Now, jump down to verse 24. We learn about the guy who had one bag of gold. Then the man who had received one bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. Seems kind of harsh, doesn't it? You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown, and I gather where I have not scattered seed. Now, Jesus is the smartest man on the planet, and he's teaching his followers about the idea of wealth creation. The entire story is really focused on that. It's amazing in the church how we use every other parallel rather than what he's actually literally talking about. And he gives a description of the master. I harvest where I have not sown, and I gather where I have not scattered seed. He says, listen, this master, he has the ability to create even when there isn't planting that goes on. This master has such a supernatural ability. He can harvest where he hasn't sown. He can gather where he hasn't scattered seed. That there is this partnership that you have with a creator, almighty God. And part of being in the calling of wealth creation is an awareness of the power of God. You have the world's greatest partner, and he is not a silent investor. And if we're involved in wealth creation, it must include this divine distinction where God gets the glory. God is involved, intimately involved. He doesn't just wind you up as a clock and then step away. But he wants to be very dynamically involved and has the ability to do things beyond the normal. That doesn't excuse us from being smart and wise. But especially in business, we can swing the pendulum so far one way that when we do our risk assessments, when we measure cost-benefit analysis, we forget, wait a minute, I'm in this partnership with God who can create out of nothing. And that has to play some kind of a factor in the role that I have joining him in creation. My friend in Chicago made a decision that in the natural seemed really foolish. And many of his trusted confidants said, don't do that. Do not put a manufacturing plant in this neighborhood. It's a bad decision. But he knew that he was in partnership with a God who can create out of nothing. So he puts it there, led by the Holy Spirit. And I want to honestly challenge you. Don't conform to the patterns of this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Means that as courageous Christian leaders, you got to balance this. What's the wisdom of business and strategy? And what's the divine power of God? And navigate that together. And he will guide you in that. This is how Jesus describes the master to us. This is incredibly important for you. And when you're trying to navigate that, that's why these evenings are so important. If you try to navigate that on your own, wow, sometimes you're going to feel like you're swimming in a big ocean. You get around other courageous Christian business leaders who are facing the same questions. You sit around tables like this. You join something like the financial leaders where your iron sharpens iron. All of a sudden now, you're not left alone to try to navigate. I got to be a smart business person, but I've got this divine partner who can create out of nothing. I can do that with others. And I can share and learn from others. And I want to really encourage you, especially if you're a visitor, don't shortchange the value of these kinds of gatherings and the relationships God can create to help you flourish in the ministry of wealth creation. All right, so let's go on. Verse 28. So take the bag. He's giving it, telling him what to do. He says, so take the bag of gold from him. Give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. When Jesus teaches this parable, he inserts this line of what should now happen. He doesn't just jump to the end of it. And he says, listen, if you are in this divine calling, growth will take place. The master gave based on ability, but the increase was really based on activity. The man with one bag just froze and did nothing. He didn't fulfill his divine calling from the master. The other two fulfilled their divine calling, and so there was increase. You are called, you are gifted, and you can grow. Greater opportunity than at the stage you're currently at. Wealth creation, honestly, does not have a ceiling. Do you have the faith to believe that? That it actually doesn't have, not easy, lifelong, a lot of hard work, but it actually doesn't have a ceiling? If you're in a kingdom business, then it should be characterized by how did you gain profit so that society could flourish. It should be characterized by wealth creation and wealth distribution. This is where the kingdom business and the kingdom leader is so different from the world, because it's not just about wealth. It's actually about what God is doing and what he is building. Your role, I wish I could somehow take you along with me to all the places I go to all the initiatives that I see. I wish we could all go to one of those families that get a Christmas box, open it up and discover a refrigerator. That's your role. It impacts so many people. It is so critically important that we do both sides of this really well. And it is significantly important that we as leaders make sure that that gets carried on. I've recently discovered something, and as I look over this audience, I would say it's probably also true, and there is kind of an honest mandate. There's probably very few of us in here who are under the age of 30. Just honestly, right? Something's going on. Maybe it's not true in New Zealand, but it is true in America. So in our political season, if you've been watching it all, we had this one political candidate who ran against Hillary named Bernie Sanders. He's like 97 years old. If you know anything about Bernie, it's purest heart probably of anybody, but his economic policies and economic plan were borderline socialism. And do you know who his biggest fans were? The millennials. Everybody in their 20s wanted Bernie to win. Almost his entire voting block was young people. Here's why. They've seen the generation before them abuse money, so they said, I don't want anything to do with money. And they have a disregard for the responsibility over it. And I actually think that that's woven its way into many churches where you've got this younger generation where I'll give some money, but they don't understand the responsibility. And I'm thinking to myself, if the Lord tarries, because it's a lifelong pursuit, 20 years from now, where are those people who are gonna carry on this responsibility of wealth creation in the kingdom of God? And there is kind of a mandate on us who are over 30 to make sure we are bringing a biblical, faith-inspired hope to a younger generation that says, wow, do not discard the opportunity and the responsibility around being a part of building his kingdom, both through wealth creation, through business, and through wealth distribution. Both are really important. It is an opportunity for growth that we have to take responsibility with the next generation for. And then here's the last one. I told you this would be kind of unpolished. Verse 30. Jesus ends the parable really interesting, kind of harsh, but there's a key insight to this. He says, throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You say, well, wait a minute. So he doesn't qualify for heaven because he couldn't make money? No. What Jesus is teaching is this, is the master is showing that this servant actually really wasn't a true servant. He wasn't actually a genuine servant. I actually think that what this last line teaches us is the idea of grace. He's not saying that, hey, if you can't do this, you're not going to heaven. No. He's saying because this servant was driven by fear, because this servant was driven by anxiety, because this servant was driven by desperation, it's an insight into the fact that he actually wasn't really genuinely a servant. When you are a servant of God, there's this enormous amount of grace. Wealth creation, working in business should not be seen as hard or toil. That was after the sin. But after Jesus, come to me, all of you who are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest and ease. There shouldn't be a struggle. There shouldn't be an anguish. Wealth creation should actually be fun and exciting and glorious because you're in this partnership with this really good God where you can define every day as this adventure, this joy that's there. It is hard work. There are risks and challenges. But if anything, I would leave you with this thought that when you're in a partnership with God doing something for the kingdom, there's this joyous adventure that's there. It's like you get up and say, God, what are we going to do this morning? What do you have planned? So that we can be part of a wealth creation for the purpose of a wealth distribution. I am so really, really privileged to be able not only just be a part of life and a church that sees the role that business plays in the kingdom, but to be able to share with you some pretty rough thoughts. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Wealth distribution really matters. It really, really, really matters. Community, church, salvation really matters. But without wealth creation, God's a creator. He's still creating, and he invites you into this divine partnership, this divine calling. Don't ever let anybody tell you that what you do Monday through Friday is not deeply spiritual and not deeply significant. God bless you guys.
That's pretty cool, huh? You know, just that whole thought of moving to a creative kind of mindset and seeing what can happen. I absolutely believe that one of the territories that the enemy has held for so long is in this area. And, you know, the church buys into the lie that we shouldn't be addressing finances. And yet, if you've been here any length of time, you'll know that finance has so much to do with what we can and cannot do. And, you know, as I was thinking about tonight, I was reminded of this verse, which I think ties in so much with what Joel was saying. And in fact, we were up in the green room before we came down. I said, you know what, I'm just going to use two verses as we wrap up. And that's Genesis 1. On the screen, this is what it says in verse 27. God created man in his own image. And in the image of God, he created each one of us. And he created us male and female. And then the next verse, of course, says that God blessed us. And we've really got to believe that. God blessed us. The beginning, you know, I've been talking again about perspective, how quickly we drift from the center line. And God blessed us. And what did he cause us to live? A fruitful, a multiplying, and a life of dominion. And that whole thought is really powerful, fruitful, multiply, and dominion. And I just want to thank Joel. And I want to encourage you to get close enough to God, get enough time with God that you become convinced that you are to live a fruitful life. Come on. Yeah, it's kind of like gone are the days, I hope, where we feel guilty about the blessing of God breaking out over us. Come on, we are actually blessed to be fruitful. And then I'd like to encourage you, it's not just about your own fruitfulness, is then you teach and pass on the ability to be fruitful. That's multiply. That actually we're multiplying people. I'm encouraging everybody, whatever your gift and whatever your calling is, don't just become an expert at it. Multiply it into someone else. Speak it over someone. Teach them what you've learned and keep passing that on. And that's the point where dominion is taken. You can pray about dominion till the cows come home. But you've got to be fruitful first up. And then secondly, you literally have got to help others become fruitful. That's multiply. And then we'll see dominion take place. And I believe that the church has the answer for our day. Can I have an amen for that? I do believe, you know, she's not perfect because we're in it. But that is what I am blessed to do. I am blessed to be fruitful. And I better not start preaching about next year because we're going to have a year of more. I was up at North on Sunday, and I almost got trapped into preaching on it already. I was like, if you're a narrow thinking person, you're not going to be comfortable next year. We're going to stretch it up. But, you know, just let me just stop. Listen to these words. You know how I work. I work with sort of letters. But here, we live disempowered by the lack of finance. I do believe that life, our church, we've got clarity from God. We're currently disempowered because we don't have enough finance. We've got a very generous church. We're seeing breakthrough in money, but there is more we could do. Come on, there are hundreds of Christmas boxes that could be going out. Never ever excuse, as we heard tonight, becoming someone who's going to commit to wealth creation. We live disempowered. We live distracted by the excess of it. Do you know that if it's just about you, it'll finally distract you from being in the place that God wants you to be? So we're not talking about just, you know, multiplication for the sake of our own blessing. We live dominated by the control of it. Don't let money control you. You become the decision maker, not money. When you become that decision maker, then that creation process begins. Here's a good one. We live defensive by the misunderstanding of it. Well, I want to be a part of a generation inside the church that no longer is defensive. Come on, that we're going to begin to believe bigness is going to touch each one of us. And here's the final one. We live destiny through the kingdom investment of it. You want to live destiny for your life, then make sure everything that God's gifted you in, it's got kingdom attached to it. Because as you do that, it's amazing how happy your life is and how fulfilled. And even when you're in the dark times, it's like God's on this, that partnership aspect. God is a creator. You bring him closer to you, you're going to get more creative. Going to get divine thoughts that other people have never heard of before. And I just want to encourage you. And maybe you're here tonight and you go, you know, I am, just because of the nature of my busyness, I'm somebody that is a little bit isolated. Well, again, be encouraged that you don't have to live isolated. There are lots of good business professional people in our church that are connected through groups. In fact, I think on the screen we've got a group slide, and we just encourage everybody and anybody to be able to, you know, just pursue, find out where people are, what they're all about. And if you say, I'd like to meet on a semi-regular basis with other business professional people where we can just encourage each other, pray for each other, just be there in the good and the tough times, well then, of course, one of the key things for us here at Life is that all of us find a group where we can just really connect and do life with. So I'd strongly encourage you to be a part of that. And the next night we're going to have is going to be March the 6th. Next year. So if you've got your diaries, you might want to take a note of that. Definitely, if we've got your details, we'll be reminding you about what night it is, what we're going to cover on that night. But March the 6th is going to be another great get-together as we begin 2017. Can you believe 2017 is just around the corner? But we're going to have some supper together. But I hope you've enjoyed tonight. But I love that, Joel. I think we've got to go and we've got to believe that we've got the right to create some things. And let's keep close to God and get the Holy Spirit breathing. Come on, ideas into our spirit. And even the whole thought of it just takes long time. It just takes long-term commitment. Once you're committed long-term, how many know I'm getting old doing this thing? I've been doing it so long, 25 years. It's amazing how few pastors last the distance. But again, you get a call of God and you don't have to do it all right or get it all perfect. You just got to keep committed to it. And I do believe in the power of impartation. You know, if you're here, you've been invited by a friend. Maybe this is a little weird because it's a Christian environment, but we do things all the time where there are many people that don't have a faith. Here at Life, we're not into religion. It may surprise you. We're into a relationship with a loving, living God that changes us. And his word makes sense and helps empower us to be all that we are to be. And if we can help in any way, we're here for you and just at your own pace. But come on, why don't we stand to our feet? I want to pray for you. We're going to go and have some supper together. Encourage you to stick around, have a nice coffee and something good to eat. And thanks to all the team. Can we thank all the team that have put everything together for tonight? Thank you to Joel for being here. Father, I thank you for every person that's here. I thank you for every couple. Just thank you for the way that tonight we can be here together. And like Joel has said, we thank you, God, that you are a creator and you've created us to create. And we just pray that you will enable us to hear you, to lean into you. I pray a protection around everyone. I pray God's blessing on everyone. And I just pray, God, that you'll continue to empower us to be able to reach our world with an answer. We love you, and we just pray your blessing upon us in Jesus' name. Amen.